T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, it's actually the huddle because we're going 18 different directions with this show. But I'm Mike Max, and I'm incredibly excited because today we kick off a new chapter in WCCO, and I'm joined by the one and only, the legendary, talk about legendary, Pete Najarian. How are you this morning?
Way too flattering.
Nah, come on now.
I do appreciate you, though, Maxie. I'll tell you what, I know we're going to have a lot of fun. You and I love talking sports, but we get a chance to talk about more than just sports, just about anything we want. We can huddle together, and we can talk about the markets. We can talk about sports. You and I could talk about TJ Maxx and some of the spending we do. And
yes.
We got the whole thing covered, man.
Yes, and somebody, I was at a party last night, and somebody said, what are you guys going to talk about? And I said, I can't tell you that because I'm not quite sure. It's going to be weekly, and we're going to – obviously, there'll be a heavy dose of sports, and that's, yep. You know, that's kind of for you and I, that's a default position for sure because it's a lot of fun, but we can go a lot of different directions with this, and that's why we're so excited to do it because this is a – you know, Pete, I walked into the studio today, and I have not been in the studio. The last time I did a show in here was March 15th, 2020, and that was Sid Hartman's 100th birthday. It was the last time we had a guest in this studio. It was the last time for a lot of things because it was literally the next day that we shut down – because of COVID, of course, that was a festive time, and it turned out it was the last time I ever saw Sid Hartman. And I walked into his office today, and it's still intact, and it was quite a feeling when you think about how long the show went with he and Dave Mona, the Sports Huddle, and I, as a tribute to him, I stole a pair of his headsets that I know he doesn't need anymore. But it got me thinking, you know, you grew up in the golden era, as did I, but your father, the late Dr. Najarian, of course, such a big influence at the University of Minnesota and sports fan, and Sid Hartman kind of side by side at the same time with your dad when they were in their prime. What do you remember about just growing up in Minneapolis and that vibe and that era and that, you know, the weekends, and I know you'd go to games and with your dad, and your dad was such a big fan and such a big part of your life, and Sid Hartman, right, reading his column, all those things, that's who you were as a kid, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Maxie. As a matter of fact, moving from San Francisco, we got here to Minneapolis late 60s, early 70s, and my dad, part of his contract that he wanted to have at the University of Minnesota, he didn't want all these fancy things everybody else in the world wanted. He wanted a couple of tickets to go for basketball, a couple of tickets to go for football, and that was some of what he was looking for, most importantly, in terms of his contract. So it gave you a little bit of an idea of who Dad was, but he's a special guy. And, we grew up loving everything about Minnesota. Once we embraced it and embraced those cold winters, we became Minnesotans right away and absolutely love it and continue to love it. I'll tell you what, Maxie, how many places can you just get in your car and zip over and watch a bit of a Twins game? Maybe you get a little something from the Gophers or Vikings, and you can get some basketball in the evening. They're all right downtown for the most part. It's just – you know, Minneapolis, Minnesota is definitely a special place, and not everybody has what we have all so close together and gives us the opportunity to be a part of just about anything. Shoot, yesterday, Maxie, very last minute, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go over to the St. Thomas football game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was homecoming over there. It was a great time. And they're Division I now, and they are playing exactly the same ball that they played under Coach Caruso from D3 and all those years, the MIAC. They still have a powerful team that is winning. And it's impressive because this is year one. You'd expect a few, you know, a tough go of it, first of all, you know, early on. That's not the case at all. They can compete at the Division I level right now, and they're doing an absolutely outstanding job. That is such a well-coached machine over there at St. Thomas that I just have to, you know, take my hat off to them. 7,500 people. It was sold out, Maxie. I had to go over into the cheap seats and look out from back by the gyms back there just to be able to look into the stadium.
Wow. You know, and you and I were talking last night, and I think people are getting acclimated to what does this mean that St. Thomas is playing in this new football league. It's kind of complicated. You understand basketball, they'll be playing straight up against scholarship schools, meaning everybody's got scholarships and they can pay the kids, so to speak, to play. Football, it's a non-scholarship league. And so what it is, and I think people have a tough time getting their arms around it because they see the names of the schools, but you have to really pay attention. If it's a non-scholarship school they're playing, it's kind of like playing a team in the MIAC. I mean, St. John's and Bethel would do really well in this league as well. Probably not the bottom half of the MIAC, but the top half would be right there with these schools. Very similar to, and I think it's, but then when you go to Northern Iowa and play, as I did a couple weeks ago, well, that's a scholarship program, and that means they got a lot of kids from all over the country that aren't paying to go to school, and they're a much better team, even though they're under the same umbrella as FCS. But I think it takes a while for people, all of us, to kind of figure out how this works, because football is going to be different than other sports in terms of the league and the competition they play.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, the St. Thomas, what they're doing and how they've gone through this process, it's just been amazing to me to watch how smooth they've made it look. I mean, the reality is, I'm sure there's been all kinds of hiccups and all kinds of things in front of them, Maxie, but I think the reality is that that side of it, but they aren't showing that. It looks smooth. It looks like this is a school that has pushed on, and I'll tell you what, you want to walk around on a beautiful campus. Go over to St. Thomas and stroll around with the incredible endowment and all the money that's given to that school, and they do such a great job. It is a beautiful campus. It's really a pretty fantastic place to be. Great to watch football there. But I got to tell you, my heart's still up there with St. John's and watching them. They've continued to be the St. John's of old.
Yep.
They just seem to be so good each and every year, undefeated once again. And I'll tell you what, those Golden Gusties keep putting up points too, Max.
Yeah, and by the way, you got some heritage there because your brothers played there.
Yeah, I had two of my brothers play at the Gustavus Adolphus, and my mother sat on the board there, and she went to school there long, long ago. And so, we have a lot of ties there. So, and they had a great coach for so many years, Mr. Rarup, and I absolutely loved the Rarup family. As a matter of fact, one of my business partners is the son of Coach Rarup. So we've got a lot of ties to Gustavus.
Yeah, my older brother went to college and played football at Gustavus. His freshman year, I've never told you this, I don't think, your older brother was a senior. And I just remember going to Gustavus to the campus of the games, and your brother was the stud, man. He was the man. You know, it's like everybody knew, you know, there were a couple, you know, every player has a couple of them, right? And he was it. I mean, he was a really good football player for Gustavus.
Yeah, my brother Dave, you know, he's pre-med. The guy never got a B in his high school or college era of school. I mean, just he really did have all the pieces together, and he loved it. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a surgeon, and that was his goal. He actually did go to medical school eventually and went for 3 years and then said, you know, maybe it's not for me, and then moved over to the entrepreneurial side where he's done just a great job with that, with all his ice cream stores. And he's got Nelson's, he's got Nelly's, he's got all sorts of different places near the campuses, actually, over there, not too far from your old stomping grounds over at Hamlin, Maxie.
He's got a little action over there.
Oh, yeah, he's got his Nelly's. It's an ice cream spot that also has these ice cream sandwiches that are absolutely outstanding.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, it's just it's fun. But he years ago bought the Nelson's franchise, well, the store Nelson's, that was selling ice cream in Stillwater, and just continues to thrive there, too. That's been an absolute home run. But Dave was a heck of a linebacker. He was also great in track, Maxie. He was really, really competitive at the, at the All-American type level in throwing the discus. But he also was a linebacker, and he was a linebacker in the MIAC. And we're talking about 1981, okay?
Yep.
And here's a guy who's close to 6'4 and 245 pounds playing middle linebacker.
Jeepers.
In the MIAC. Okay?
Yep.
And here's a guy who's close to 6'4 and 245 pounds playing middle linebacker.
Jeepers.
In the MIAC.
I mean, so that plays pretty well today in the Big Ten, you know?
Yeah, that's a good-sized guy. You know, he was one of those guys. He was always wiry, but he worked out. He did everything he could to get himself into the shape that he wanted to get. If he was going to compete, he always wanted to be competing at the very highest level. And he executed there. He was an All-American linebacker. Unfortunately, hurt his knee really, really badly his senior year. But he was on his way. As a matter of fact, the Packers still gave him a little bit of a look for a while, but his knee just couldn't pass the physical. But I'll tell you what, that they were really, really a powerhouse down at Gustavus back in that era. They were putting up 50, 60, 70 points a game, kind of like they are this year, and their defense was just as dominant as well. They looked like the Georgia defense that we're seeing at the NCAA level right now.
By the way, and we'll take a break and come back, but you talk about the low-hanging fruit. You and I were talking last night. I mean, yesterday, if you like college football, was about as good a day. I mean, obviously the Gophers didn't play, but it was about as good a day just for if you weren't involved in and just wanted to watch college football, it was great. We've also got some special guests coming up on this show. One I can't tell you about, others I will. We'll check in at North Dakota State where Phoenix Sproles will tell us about what it's like to play with Trey Lance, who's going to make his first start in the NFL today for the San Francisco 49ers, and much more. It's The Huddle. It's Pete Najarian. It's Mike Max. And most importantly, it's WCCO. Thrilled to be with you today, the first edition of The Huddle. Pete Najarian, Mike Max talking about sports and a whole bunch more. You can join us anytime on the text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. You can call us there as well, 651-461-9226, if something captures your fancy. But we're going to talk sports and more as we go through on this new edition, this newly created program, and just thrilled to be a part of it. Pete, you hinted at this before. You're talking about a little bit. Your brother was an All-American at Gustavus and went to med school and became an entrepreneur. For your family is one of the most eclectic that I've seen, because it's this combination of your father being, you know, very structured, of course, as a surgeon and whatnot, and to an extent the same with you and your brothers, and you work for companies, but you've also got this entrepreneurial spirit to you. And as I recall, am I incorrect in this? Didn't that start with a Popeye's chicken back in the day in South Minneapolis? I mean, how did that come about, and what drew you into that?
Isn't that something, that Popeye's chicken?
Well, yeah, what really?
Absolutely. You know, it was the first one to come up towards Minnesota. That was the very first one in Minnesota. And what happened, Maxie, was, you know, my brother John was living in Chicago. He played briefly with the Bears, and then he got onto the stock exchange and the options world, and it just became his life. And it is still to this day. But he fell in love with this franchise that he'd never heard of. It was Popeye's Fried Chicken. It's out of Louisiana, and they had this great Cajun and food, and it was just outstanding. And he thought, wow, if Dad ever wanted to, they ought to think about maybe doing something up there in Minnesota. Well, you know, he pitched the idea to my dad, and he's always open to ideas. And he kind of looked at my brothers, and he says, well, if you guys can run it, we're going to do it. And so that's how quick it literally happened, that fast. And they immediately decided that they were going to do that, both Dave and Paul. And so they were the worker bees. They were there each and every day. They did all the hiring. They got that all set up on Lake Street, and then they put another one over in St. Paul. And then eventually they sold those franchises to a group of folks that expanded Popeye's even more in the Minneapolis area, Minneapolis St. Paul area. And it's just one of the many things that Dad, you know, it's kind of like Dad always being at the World Wrestling Federation or the AWA or those kinds of things. You know, here's this world-renowned transplant. That's what the great part about Dad. He just didn't, you know, everybody else is worried about their reputation. He didn't care. He'd stand up there. He'd be in row one. Vern Gagne would introduce Dad as Hulk Hogan's ringside physician. My dad would do a little bow and maybe wave his hand and sit back down. You know, that's all that meant. It didn't mean that he was going to actually do any treatment for a Hulkster. He just was sitting in the front row.
It just played into the whole tapestry of the night. Absolutely. The good old days, we say, you know?
Yep. Always fun. Always fun.
And we'll spin about this more as we go through this throughout the days ahead, because I think this entrepreneurial spirit that you've got, and there's a lot of things in it that people from a business standpoint recognize, whether you're buying a franchise or whatever. But I mentioned last night it was a paradise if you were a college football fan yesterday, no matter you were rooting for. I mean, Alabama gets beat, and Iowa and Penn State have this great game. So did Nebraska and Michigan. And when I talked to you last night, you said, take a look at Notre Dame because you said this alt kid is having his way at left tackle, a true freshman from Totino Grace, and someone you know his father quite well, John Alt, and you're watching this, you're kind of isolating him, and you're going, this kid's the real deal, huh?
I'll tell you what, he's got his dad's old number, 76, and he looks like his pop. I'll tell you what, I have not seen a guy step onto the field as a freshman look like that ever. I don't think. Well, maybe John himself, but you know, John started off as a tight end down there, Maxie. He was one of those guys with his hands on his hips back in the Hayden Fry days, playing tight end.
Yeah.
And then he got so daggone big, they finally said, "Hey, look, John, we love you, but you got to put your hand in the dirt. You're going to be an offensive lineman." And he went there, and it was a great move on his part because it opened up the world to him. You know, he had an unbelievable professional career down there at Kansas City, and you know, because it's not Minnesota, we kind of lose track of some of these Minnesota
athletes. Yes, we do. His career was unbelievable,
It was unreal. He's in the Ring of Honor. You know, every time I go down to Kansas City, I was down there for the playoff game last year, the AFC Championship game, and there's John Alt's name right there, right in front of me. I'm looking right at it, and it's impressive. He really was a heck of a player. But his son, Joe, he just kind of looks a lot like his father. He's got a little bit wider hips, Maxie. I think he's going to be a heck of a left tackle, but you know, it's okay when you've got a frame that's already 6'8 and about 320. I think he's got the size. He obviously has to mature and get more strength, but he looks like a pro already. He looks like a guy that maybe is not that far away from playing on Sundays rather than Saturdays. That's how good I think Joe is. I think he's just got so much athleticism. Notre Dame does help out, but I kept a close eye. They allowed him to be one-on-one with those defensive ends for the majority of the game, and he was doing an absolutely magnificent job. Just a big young man who's got a huge – he has no ceiling. He could go through the roof as far as being an offensive lineman at the next level.
I remember watching him play basketball in high school, and they had a great team. Totino Grace is going to be unbelievable this year in basketball, but he didn't play his senior year, and they lost to Minnehaha Academy in the section finals. It was a great game. Minnehaha had the great team, but I remember talking to his coach saying, ooh, it would have sure been nice to have that physical presence in there. You know what I'm saying? Hey, but, you know, I want to come back to that. To a John Alt. I mean, who knows if he stays at tight end, whether or not he gets through one training camp in the NFL. You know, he might be one step too slow, but some coach saw something in him that moves him from tight end to tackle. Is that the definition to you of a great coach, especially in football, where they don't walk in there going, here's my this, here's my wide receiver, here's my – they walk in there going, give me 22 great players and I'll figure out where to put them. And to me, sometimes it's just amazing. It might have just been his position coach or somebody that said, let's try him at tackle, although it's not a big reach that, you know, guys go from tight end to tackle, et cetera. But is that to you – the definition of a great coach is one that can recognize how to get the best 22 on the field?
Absolutely no doubt about it, Maxie. I think that when you watch college football, particularly at the NFL level, there's not a whole lot of movement at that level. But when you're at the coming out of high school, you get to the college level and you see some of these players, you can already see the athleticism. You can see all of the talent that's there. Now you just have to figure out, how do I get all that talent on the field? And I think that is what distinguishes one successful coach versus coaches who are just kind of getting by or not having success and lose their jobs. They are not analyzing the players that they've got and putting them into the right position to be successful. And I think it's the case in business. It's the case in everything that you can talk about in life, but particularly in sports. You've got to get the best 11 on the field, even if that means you're going both ways. And that still does happen once in a while. There are players out there who still are playing both offense and defense.
Oh, Maybe not. And the great high school coaches, that's what they do, right?
Well, I can tell you, back when I was playing, Coach Robinson over at Central High School in Minneapolis.
Yeah, just Rich got into the Hall of Fame, by the way.
I was there. I loved seeing Coach there. You know, he's just a wonderful guy, just a great presence about him. And you know, he always had that feeling of a great coach. There was just something about Coach Robinson that really stuck out. But, you know, it is interesting that he would put us out there. I played tailback. I played linebacker. I was the punter. I was the kicker. I was, you know, so once the game started, I never came off the field. And I'll tell you what, there were some long days, some hot ones, and it really was, because we didn't have lights, Maxie, over at Central High. So we used to kick off at 3, and we had to be done by 5 because all of a sudden the street lights were coming on, and that was the end of that. But it was a lot of fun, and if we were lucky. Once in a while, we got to play over at Parade Stadium, which was fun. But, yeah, you know, Coach understood you got to put the right guys in there, and it's the best 11. Whoever those best 11 are need to be on the field. And I think high school and college coaches that do a great job of analyzing who those guys are, who needs a break once in a while as well, all those kind of things, those factors that come in. But you want your best 11 on the field at all times, and I think that's exactly what some of the great coaches have done.
Yeah, I was watching you know, and many times the great high school coaches, they'll play it out during the season. What they want to know is by the end of the season, who do I need to put in this situation, or do I need to move this, tinker with that? I was watching Eden Prairie the other night. They bounced back, and they put the Bennett Larson, their star linebacker. All of a sudden, he's a running back when they get down the red zone, and he scores 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a Mike Grant signature, you know, recognizing that. And, you know, you've seen Dan O'Brien over at St. Thomas Academy. He did the other night. They won 18-13 there at the end. They just have a way about saying, okay, if this kid looks good here in this situation, but they also let everybody kind of get their shot, you know, during the year, so they can figure out where everybody belongs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think there are coaches even to this day at the very highest level in college football that they can analyze and figure out, you know what, we need a guy out there from the defense when the offense is out there once in a while. I've mm-hmm. seen Georgia bring some D linemen in there to play fullback, and, you know, as they get closer to the end zone, of course. But we're seeing more and more of it where they're just going to pluck a player or two that's got that great athleticism, and you want him on the field. And that's exactly what the great coaches do. They put themselves in a position to win. And I'll tell you what, I'm still shocked by that Alabama game yesterday. That was
Texas A&M beat Colorado 10-7. The team of the Gophers throttled 30-0. Then they go beat Alabama last night, and A&M looked like they looked like they were just kind of a so-so team.
Yeah, they started off the year. Yeah, they had that high ranking coming into the year.
Yeah, big time. Yep.
And then they just sort of fizzled. And I couldn't explain to you for the life of me what exactly was the biggest problem that they had. But they were able to rise up for Alabama. And, you know, there was a lot of jawing back and forth between the coaches.
A former assistant again.
Yeah, and it's just amazing how many assistants that Nick Saban has that have gone on to great things, including Georgia, including, you know, just about any school you want to pick out there. But it is amazing. But that was a great game. There were so many great games yesterday, Maxie. That Iowa-Penn State game I thought was fun. Oklahoma-Texas. I know there wasn't a lot of defense, but I'll tell you what, that was some great football. that was fun football, and that helped make this. I know there wasn't a lot of defense, but I'll tell you what, that was some great football. That was fun football, and that helped make the Saturday start off right.
Yeah, and they were just trying to set for a field goal, and the kid breaks it for a touchdown. We come back, I'm going to ask you about that. Playing against the Boz, and we saw Nebraska play last night as well. They're the Gophers' next opponent. You're very familiar with Nebraska. You know the coaches well down there. You know your daughter went there. And I can't figure this team out. I can't figure out if they're a contender, where they're going to fit in the Big Ten. But they're the Gophers' next opponent. I'll ask you about that and much more when we come back. Welcome back. Vikings play today. Trey Lance makes his first NFL start for the San Francisco 49ers out of Marshall. And as near as I can tell, he might be the first Minnesotan ever to start a quarterback in the NFL. We'll visit with one of his favorite targets and one of his buddies that he trains with and happens to be a North Dakota State star for the number one ranked FCS Bison coming up this half hour, Phoenix Sproles. But, Pete, before we get to that, Nebraska plays next against the Gophers, and last night they made a pretty good bid against Michigan at home. Now, they're kind of – that's where they are right now. They're making some pretty good bids and coming up short. But you know the people inside that organization very, very well. Coach Frost, you're very familiar with the athletic department. Is Nebraska on the cusp, or where are they at as a football program right now?
You know, I question that every week. You know, to be honest with you, when I watch that football team play, there sometimes seems like there's this lapse that you just don't want to see. And I see that sometimes out of the Gophers as well, Maxie, where we're on a roll, and then we almost go to sleep, and teams start to make a little bit of a move, and we all of a sudden are behind the eight ball. And that's a bit of what Nebraska looks like. They can look outstanding at times. They've played some great games. That Northwestern game was incredible. They did a great job against Oklahoma, but they are susceptible against good running teams. And that's where I think Minnesota has the advantage as we look at this game coming up, because you look at Nebraska's defense, they are not the black shirts of old. Michigan ran for over 200 yards against them, Maxie, 5 yards a carry. I look back at Oklahoma, they ran for nearly 200 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. The defense just has not been the black shirts probably in the last 15 years or so, I would say. It's not what Nebraska football always used to look like. And that's a little bit surprising. That being said, they had a great game last night with Michigan. It was back and forth and back and forth. And I thought that they played well enough to win. They didn't win, but they sure played a good football game. They just, they had the chance at the end, very much like our Vikings
they would really scare you if you're going to play them, right? Because they look like can beat anybody.
Yep, and Martinez is a good quarterback. I wouldn't put him in the great category, but I thought he was going to be.
His freshman year, he destroyed the Gophers, and I really don't know what's happened since. He still makes plays. He scored a touchdown, made one with his legs last night, but I thought he was going to be far and away the best quarterback in the Big Ten when I saw him as a freshman.
Yeah, and what I don't understand, and I love Scott Frost. I think he's a great guy. He and I have become friends. He's a wonderful guy. He's a great coach. His success at Oregon and at Central Florida, are pretty undeniable. And for whatever reason, Maxie, when we watch Nebraska play football, we are not seeing what we'd seen out of the previous stops that we'd seen for Coach. And that's a little bit disturbing. I still, people will tell me, well, kids don't want to go to Nebraska anymore. I don't agree with that. I think that every school can still recruit. University of Minnesota can recruit. Look at Iowa. What's the difference
between Iowa and Nebraska, right?
Right. Exactly right. So if Iowa can do it, that tells me Nebraska, Minnesota, and everybody else should be able to recruit. And no matter what, there's only so many scholarships out there. So it's almost like a salary cap, right? You can't take everybody and just stockpile them, and that's a good thing. So I think Nebraska's got talent. I think their offensive line, they just keep trying to find the right guys. They've got size. They've got strength, but they haven't found the right chemistry really to be a consistent offense. And they did score 29 points against Michigan, which is a huge feat because Michigan's defense is good. You know whose defense is unbelievable, Maxie, is Wisconsin. For all of everybody's nervousness about what Wisconsin is, and they've always had issues at quarterback. We all know that forever. It's always been a running team, big offensive line, but that defense is one of the best in the entire country, and nobody seems – I still go back to the Penn State game and think, Wisconsin – ran up and down the field on these guys. They just made mistakes going into the end zone to score. And that's the only reason that Penn State was ranked number four going to Iowa
absolutely.
This past
week.
Yeah,
that was they screwed it up in the red zone about three times. Yeah.
Yep. That quarterback, unfortunately, was throwing some interceptions. He's got Minnesota ties as well, but it is a little bit different Wisconsin team. They don't look quite as good running the football. They have those great offensive linemen that I think they always seem to have maybe the best five, I think, at least in the Big Ten consistently. But I when you're watching them, you look over on the defensive side, the defense is going to give you a chance to win every single week. And as long as that offense can move the ball, control the ball, get it in the end zone, and not settle for those field goals that they've had to do in some of the losses they've had, that's a really good football team too. So I don't buy into the idea that you can't recruit a kid to Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, or anywhere else. You can. And teams out there prove it each and every year and each and every time you watch games. You can see that I think we're getting closer and closer to a lot more interesting back and forth games, Maxie, than we've ever seen. I think the dominance is getting pulled away.
My gosh, how do you bet this thing? Pete Najeri and Mike Max, the huddle, 651-461-9226. We have some text coming in. I'll read a little bit later. 651-461-9226 if you want to join us. Delvin Cook is out for the Vikings today, ankle. Now, a lot of it depends on what position you get injured at. I think Alexander Mattison's, he might not be Delvin Cook, but he's 1A as a running back. Do you think there's a big difference there?
I don't, but I do think that Dalvin Cook's the best running back in the NFL, and I've been saying that for a couple of years. And the reason I say that is he's the complete package, Maxie. When we will all get the opportunity to stand down there at practice or at a game, and you see that this guy does not have to come off the field. Now, he does come off the field, and unfortunately, injuries just continue to plague this poor guy, but he works harder than anybody I've seen. He's in as good a shape or better shape than anybody else on the Vikings or in the NFL, and he's willing to pass block. And I've seen him make decisions to pass block that have saved Kirk Cousins just this year alone. I mean, just unbelievable how well he manages to slide around and find D linemen that he can at least get a piece of them or whatever to keep them off of Kirk. And he does a great job there. He catches the ball well, and we all know how he runs. I think Madison is outstanding. He looked really, really good a couple weeks ago, and I think the Vikings, it's not a huge drop-off. It's not the same, but it is not a huge drop-off.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Trey Lance, as I mentioned, makes his debut as an NFL starter. Let's talk to one of his wide receivers who was on the team that beat Northern Iowa yesterday and is number one in the country in the FCS and one of the most dominant programs in the history of college football. Phoenix Sproles will join us from North Dakota State when we come back. It's The Huddle.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.